Kids, did you know that at one stage, Christmas was 700 years away? Can you imagine having to wait 700 years before you open your presents? No, I can't imagine. For me, I can't even wait one day. In fact, my family are going to open some presents tonight. Oh, the excitement of it all. But wow, 700 years of waiting. That sounds like impossible, doesn't that? Some serious self-control and patience. Was the first Christmas really that valuable that it was worth waiting for 700 years? Can you remember what the old man prophet said in Isaiah? He said, a child will be born. He'll be called Wonderful, Mighty, Everlasting, Prince of Peace. Kids, he's going to be a king, a ruler, a ruler. And he will reign forever with justice and righteousness. He'd be a good king. Aren't these sort of wishy-washy rulers? He'd be a good king. Later in the same book of Isaiah, in chapter 59, God says, I myself will come. We start to get a glimpse of how important Christmas is. I myself will come. I'll come to defend you. I'll come to save all of you who turn from your sins. Can we begin to see how huge this prophecy is? It's massive. That God himself, the maker of everything, all the animals, all the trees, all the people, the maker of everything, would humble himself so much that he'd come to earth as a tiny little vulnerable human baby, all so that he might lovingly save and righteously rule his people, protecting them forever. What a huge gift if it's true. It's a huge promise, isn't it? It's a promise that required a huge hope. Plus, they had to wait a huge time. Was it worth it? Well, I'm going to step back for a second. I'm going to tell you another story from another book. It's not the Bible, okay? This story is a made-up story. You might have heard of it before. It's called The Legend of the Three Trees, okay? Kids, it's a story about three trees who all hope for something in the future. Will their hopes come true? Or have they hoped in vain? Are they hoping for too much? Well, let's find out. In fact, I'm going to ask Wendy to come and read the story to you, okay? Who likes stories? Put up your hand if you like stories. Okay, let's have a look at the story.
All right. The Legend of the Three Trees. Book adaptation by P.A. Evans. Once upon a time, there were three trees, an olive tree, an oak tree, and a pine tree. And each of the three trees had hopes for what might happen to them in the future. The olive tree in the valley with its lovely, charming tree trunk hoped that it would one day become a treasure chest, a valuable treasure chest filled with the greatest treasure in the world. Then one day, it looked like the hopes of the olive tree would come true. When a craftsman came and chopped it down and began to build the wood together to shape a box. How exciting! But to the tree's sad surprise, it did not look like a treasure box at all. And it was placed in a dirty, smelly farmyard. As the olive tree's hopes looked hopeless, the oak tree was confident with its hopes. The oak tree, standing tall and strong, looked down at the waters and placed all its hopes in becoming a royal ship that would carry a king. The king would make great commands to his subjects. To serve a king on sea was the hope of the oak tree. Then, one day, it looked like the hopes of the oak tree would come true when a builder came and chopped it down and began to build its wood into a boat. How exciting! But to the tree's sad surprise, it was a small boat to be used for catching smelly fish by smelly men. Not to be disheartened, the third tree, the pine tree, on the top of the hill stood firm with its hopes for the future. The pine tree hoped it would never be chopped down, that it would remain on top of a hill, always pointing upwards to heaven to point people to its maker. It stood tall, directing all who looked at it to remember the God who made and loves his creation. But one day, to the pine tree's sad surprise, in a lightning storm, crack! The pine tree came crashing down. And later, some soldiers the following day dragged the tree to a scrapyard to be stored. Well, the hopes of all three trees were shattered. They had hoped for no point. Their hopes were over. Or so it looked. For God had a plan that happily surprised them all. Even through the pain and discouragement of their journey, their hopes would come true. But how? God's plan for the olive tree? Christmas? For the olive tree did not become a treasure chest, but it did hold the most amazingly valuable gift and treasure the world has ever seen, for the baby Jesus, God's son, the promised Messiah, straight from heaven, was placed in this feeding trough. How wonderful. And God's plan for the oak tree? Well, the oak tree did not become a mighty warship fit for kings, but the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, God's son, stepped aboard that smelly, stinky fishing boat and in one kingly command gave orders to the wind and the waves, and even they obeyed him. How wonderful. And what of the pine tree? What was God's plan for the pine tree? It did not remain pointing up on that hill, but it did get hammered together and placed on another hill where people, even today, look up and remember God and his amazing love for all his creation. And so, each of the three trees did have their hopes come true, even though it didn't happen quite as they expected. And that's the end of the made-up story.
Did you like it, kids? Did you like the story? Yeah, it's good stories. I like stories too. That's why I married Wendy, because she's a librarian. She likes telling stories. Thanks, Wendy. The Christmas story is also a story filled with prophecy and hope and adventure and danger and some happy surprises too. But unlike the story of the three trees, the Christmas story is a part of real human history. It was at a real place over in the Middle East, in Bethlehem. And it all happened at a real time back 2,000 years ago. You see, after those 700 years of waiting, God really did send his son Jesus as a baby from heaven to earth. It just may not have happened the way people expected, did it? There was no pomp and ceremony, no royal red carpet for him to walk on. It just happened in the background, out the back of the motels, in a stable. Perhaps like the story of the three trees, the people waiting for 700 years for Christmas to come did get what they were hoping for, just not in the way that we expect. But Christmas also gives us hope, not of him coming, because he's already come, but it's in the sending of Jesus where we find hope that God loves us. Because no matter who we are or what we've done, every Christmas is an annual reminder that we're loved by God. And it gives us real hope, not some sort of distant future pretend hope or even a hope for a spade and some seeds for your garden, but in here, inside, deep inside, where it's real, where all of God's promises in Jesus are all worked out now. Christmas gives us real hope that the anxious can find peace because God loves us. Christmas gives us real hope where the weary and tired and burdened can find rest because God loves us. That Christmas gives us real hope that the lonely can enjoy God's presence because God loves us. Christmas gives us real hope that those who feel the weight of our guilt can be forgiven because God loves us. That those of us who feel dirty can be clean because God loves us. Those of us who feel ashamed can be made honourable again, all because God sent Jesus. He loves us. Christmas gives us real hope because in sending the promised King Jesus, everything has already been done in him, through him, by him, so that we might enjoy life to the full now in deposit form in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, where Jesus rules now, but also later, forever in heaven. And that's why we place our faith in King Jesus, because he is the loving, saving Son of God, and we hope in his promised return. Let me read you another Bible truth. It's Romans 5:5. There you go, it's on the screen. It says, hope in God never disappoints. Hope in God never disappoints. Maybe you're not convinced, but as the legend of the three trees shows us, hope realized doesn't always look like what we're expecting it to. Maybe God gives us what we're after, but in a way that we're not expecting. The other day when I was riding my push bike along some of the paths that Canberra are so known for, there would be people coming towards me on a bike or walking, pedestrians, and I really noticed something that I haven't noticed before. They had a really serious face on coming towards me, and they were looking down and then just peeking up. Then they saw me and I was smiling and sort of nodding, and I'd even say g'day as people pass. And suddenly, I went from being a possible crazy stranger to a friend, and they smiled back at me. I think that's our experience of God sometimes. We've got our heads down. We're not sure. We've got our serious face on. But what is God actually like? This Christmas, today, tomorrow, will you look to God by looking to the manger? Because in the manger, we find out what God's like. He loves us. He came for us. He's actually smiling, and we can smile back. Christmas is worth celebrating. It reminds us that God cares, and we place our hope in him. I'm going to pray. If you'd like to pray with me, you can say amen at the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be our hope. We ask that you would give us a renewed sense of celebration and anticipation of what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do. Help us all to rejoice in you this Christmas. And it's in the saving name of King Jesus that we pray. Amen.